Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod. Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
This apartment has one bed, one bath, and one murder. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
Everybody. Well, we're into January. I feel like a new woman. I've been drinking about 16 ounces of celery juice every morning. And we talk about my board a lot. That used to say something different. Now it says receive 2019.
And this board can, you can like put like science equations on it.
Yeah.
Or you could solve a crime, but literally it's only one corner.
Drama. Yeah. The rest is for possibility.
Yeah, but you've never filled in the rest of it.
Yeah, well, give me some time.
No, you've had plenty of time. You don't get any more time.
Celery juice first.
Receive. So what does that mean?
Receive. It means receive the gifts of the universe. I don't know. Okay. The last one was humility and surrender, and I've done a lot of that.
Yeah.
Universe. So I'm ready to get some gifts.
Some people are like, give.
Mm-hmm.
You're
like, take. Yeah.
You're like,
exactly. Receive. I did just get a job today, though. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, that is very exciting.
So anyone who's worried about me, I'm going to be okay.
Yeah. So you're ready to receive.
Ready to receive.
The new year. We were just, we were talking about another podcast, a popular one that doesn't need our,
plug it all. We just love it so much.
Teacher's Pet.
Yeah, Teacher's Pet.
Which actually Michelle turned me on to. We listened to it on the way we went to Vegas, I think, for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, I'm sure somebody here has already listened to it.
Oh,
they're like,
sure.
Yeah, no,
they're like, no shit, yeah. Next.
Yeah.
But not next, right now.
How far into it are you currently?
I am on Rings, so I'm like halfway.
Halfway. So you got only 95 more hours left. It's a long podcast.
Oh, God. I love
it. It's 16 episodes. Good.
But it's interesting because most podcasts that I really like are ones where they are trying to not be super... they're trying to do it objectively. And they are like, we're presenting you the evidence. Yeah. You make a decision. This one, the guy's like, this fucking guy did it.
Yeah.
Here's what we're doing.
But I think I feel like he's been kind of on this case for a while.
Yeah.
So it's not
he's
like
he's fed up.
Yeah.
So which is great.
Which I think that's great. And I think it's okay to be like, listen, I've been, putting my time in, now I'm putting it in podcast form.
Yeah.
I don't think it has to be objective.
Yeah. I don't think so either. I feel like I usually like them that are like that. Like, don't tell me what to think. Just give me the things.
Yeah.
And that, skews obviously certain ways at certain times, just like any documentary or like everything is biased, but.
And it's in Australia is where it takes place. So you hear it's the kids.
Yeah.
The kids.
It's like, what's the high school's name?
Cromer High. Yeah. Yeah.
Joanne at Cromer High.
So you're listening to a lot of, Australian accent.
Uh-huh.
It's very charming.
It is. I actually told a friend of mine about it who would love it, but she hates Australian accents. She's like, I won't listen to it.
So she hates Olivia Newton-John in Greece?
Pretty much.
That's what it reminded me of. I don't know why.
A very important
or
Australian.
When I listen to Flight of the Conchords, even though that's New Zealand,
it's
close. It's very similar.
My brother lives in Australia right now, and my favorite Australian phrase. Well, first of all, they call it like McDonald's. Everyone has a nickname. Everything has a nickname in Australia. It's like McDonald's is Mackie. Go to Mackie's. Like everything has a shorthand. But there's one phrase that I love. It's Australians say too easy. Too easy.
All right.
Like, can it be too easy? Nothing's too easy for me.
No.
Are you challenging me on that?
No. It's just hard enough is my kind of. So yeah, Teacher's Pet. I mean, so you're okay. So we'll talk.
We're going to talk later.
We'll touch base in a future episode because I've completed it. But I did not look up any pictures of anybody.
Bragging. Oh, that's my treat for completing it, is looking up pictures of the people.
I will not look up any photos. I won't look up any maps. Because that's my instinct, is to look up maps
and photos. Yeah, I want to see all their faces. Like, I want to, like, get the picture.
Yeah, I waited to the end before that before that happened.
It's a treat. It's going to be a treat. Because I'm like, what do they look like? God.
Don't look us up, though.
It was fucking Chris. Whatever you do, do not Google us.
It will make it better or worse.
It will disappoint. Mine will disappoint.
Yeah.
I know you think I'm a hot piece of ass on this thing. I'm not.
Now you're speaking to the people that review the show and pretty much focus on the fact that you have a potty mouth.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm working on it.
No, you're not.
I'm trying.
No, you're not. No, I'm going to say it right now. No, you're not. Let's be honest. I don't mind. Do what you like. No censorship, but you're not working on it.
No, I'm going to try. There haven't been too many swear words a-flowing on this episode.
Seven.
You've been counting?
Yeah, I've been counting.
Oh my God. Oof, that's a guy I want to date with.
Oh, we don't have time for that.
We don't have time for that.
No. Well, okay. We have time, but let's use it. You know what? You'll get that on the Patreon.
Okay. People liked my dating stories.
I don't know if they do or they don't.
Oh, maybe friends do. They like updates.
Yeah. No, I love them. We talked about them before we started.
All right.
Well, let's tease a little bit of what we're going to at least talk about here. Okay. And then, so we're going to talk about you. It's very close to where we physically are now.
Yeah. This is one of my favorite stories about, I live in Echo Park. We record this in Echo Park. Mm-hmm. I love the area. It's very historic. It's actually the first historically preserved area in Los Angeles. And
it used to, I when I first moved to Los Angeles, I was told Echo Park was dangerous.
Yeah.
And I believe that it was. I mean, it definitely was. It was, you don't go to Echo Park. And now it's...
now it's very gentrified. Mm-hmm. I've been here about 7 years now. I've seen a lot of changes. But even when I came in, it was pretty gentrified. Yeah. So this is
local, yeah. Very local. Like,
yeah, this is two blocks away from me. And it's the story. So there's this building called the Bellevue Brownstone. Now it's called that. And I went there and I'll talk a little bit about it after we get through the case. Yeah. But this is the building called Bellevue Arms. And it's a really, really famous case of murder in this one very nondescript building on the corner of Bellevue and I forgot the cross street, but that doesn't matter.
When I hear Bellevue, I think of like the famous mental institution.
Mm-hmm. No,
you know, they're going to Bellevue. You know what I mean?
16-unit brownstone, where a murder happened. But basically, okay, so a little bit more about Angelino Heights. It's the oldest district in Los Angeles outside of downtown, and it was basically a response to Bunker Hill, kind of a suburban area for oil people, the finance district back in 1886. It's got great examples of Victorian architecture, Eastlake, Queen Anne style, colonial revival, craftsman, bungalow. It is really beautiful.
Very California.
Very Californian. And very, again, you would not, but also like other, like it just feels like a very historic area in a unique way that you don't get in a lot of places around the city. So basically, oh God, I love this story so much. On Thursday, December 15th, 1926 at 12:30, a good-looking young man with dark, oily hair.
Go on.
Yeah, good-looking but oily hair, okay? And a well-educated air strolled into Mount Vernon Middle School in Los Angeles. He introduced himself as Mr. Cooper and said, so you're about to make a hanging with Mr. Cooper joke or a D.B. Cooper joke?
Well, D.B. Cooper would be a joke. That'd be a serious.
Yeah, that'd be a serious.
Hanging with Mr. Cooper was past my, like, I was too old for hanging with Mr.
Gotcha.
Cooper.
Gotcha. He said that he worked for First National Bank downtown. Perry Parker, the chief clerk at the bank, had been in a serious auto accident, he said. Parker was asking for his younger daughter, and he had been sent to fetch her. At first, the secretary and teacher at the front office was confused. Parker had two children at the school, a 12-year-old twin girls named Marjorie and Marion. So specifying that he wanted a younger one is weird.
Yeah.
Right? Oily hair. Always be suspicious.
But good looking.
But good looking.
So I'm torn.
Yeah, exactly. Cooper was quiet and courteous and said that the women were more than welcome to call the bank. They declined and pulled an excited Marianne, the youngest twin, out of her classroom's Christmas celebration, which is a sad detail. Her father later recalled, Marianne was just a healthy, normal sort of child, what some might call tomboyish. She was full of life and play all the time. The child had her own mind, too, but her two main attractions seemed always to be her parents and her schoolwork. What a good 12-year-old girl. That's not what I was like, a 12-year-old. as a 12-year-old.
What were you like?
I was very depressed.
Selling cigarettes?
I just a lot of YM and cereal, like a lot of Bear Bear Kicks and fights with my parents.
Oh.
Very different. We had different lives.
We had different lives. Can I?
We still have different lives.
Before we get deep into this, mm-hmm. can I mention a couple of other podcasts?
Yeah.
I want to mention them now that I'm thinking about it, before we get in
sure.
deep. You know, before we talk about this oily-haired hottie.
Yeah, let's do it.
We were on an episode of Lizard People. Well, look at that. Pretty good. We talk about the hum.
Yeah, which is Los Feliz hum.
Yeah. But there's obviously hums apparently around the world, but we talk about that on Lizard People. So go check that out wherever you listen mm-hmm. to podcasts. And at the end of this episode, at the very end, I'm going to talk. I want to talk a little bit about Haunting History mm-hmm. with Kathy Curtis. I'm going to play the promo of Haunting History,
that
which
sounds amazing.
I really like it. I feel like we're all family here mm-hmm. in the Haunted-esque podcast. So Haunting History with Kathy Curtis, wait to the very end because mm-hmm. you know you can listen all the way through. And I'm going to play the promo. That'll be fun.
I'm interested in that.
Oh, you want to get, and then I want to hear more about this guy.
Yeah. Okay. This guy. Okay, so back to Mr. Cooper and Echo Park. Okay, Marion was eager to comfort her father, who Mr. Cooper said that he was in a car accident. In a move that feels so unthinkable to me right now, the secretary, Naomi Britton, let Marion just go with the stranger. She got into the man's car and was never seen alive again. It was a different time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like that could happen.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Sending your two kids to school and then, hang on. So Marjorie, Marion's mom, the other twin, came home from school alone, unaware of whether her sister had gone or where. Her mother, Geraldine, began to worry and wonder where she was. When their father, Perry Parker, got home, he opened a telegram that had been sent to him. It said, "Do positively nothing till you receive a special delivery letter, Marion Parker." Another telegram arrived shortly thereafter. It read, "Interference with my plans, dangerous George Fox." So this guy was not in an accident. There's this young, handsome, oily-haired man came in, took the younger twin, and now a ransom is happening with his bank clerk.
Crime is afoot.
Crime is afoot. Something's amiss.
Yeah. Mm.
The family called the police. Soon a long letter arrived. Headed with the word death, the missive stated, "Use good judgment. You are the loser." It instructed Parker to obtain a relatively paltry $75, $20 gold certificates and to leave out the police and detectives. So it's like, if you're going to take someone for ransom, ask for a lot of shit because they want their kid back. But no, let's go for a middle range, something that'll get you by for 6 months.
But maybe mm-hmm. asking for something non-ridiculous, maybe they're like, you know what? It's not that much. We could scrape it up. Mm-hmm. Let's just give it to him and be done with it rather than like having to go through a whole thing where you have to involve the police and wiring money and then ask, you know, that's just offering another like possible train of thought.
That's true. So leave out the police and detectives. Failure to comply would mean no one will ever see the girl again except the angels in heaven who get to see her a ton.
Oh, that's
she'd
nice.
Be dead. I mean, yeah, that's a sweet like image. Yeah, right? Yeah. Just a little turn it on its head. It was signed Fate. So wow. It's like a flair for the dramatic.
Yeah.
But don't ask for too much money is all I'm saying. Manage expectations.
He's like, I want a nice, healthy gift card to Kohl's or TJ Maxx.
Yeah, exactly. Healthy. It has to be a good gift card. Like, give me like $75.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
100, 200 is too much.
Yeah. 75 is good. I can get in a whole outfit
exactly.
for that.
Exactly. I got those tiny socks that don't look like socks when you're wearing shoes. Love those socks. Okay, so failure to comply would mean no one will ever see the girl again except the angels in heaven. It was signed Fate. Over subsequent communications, an exchange was planned for the next evening at 10th and Gramercy. Parker, who unbeknownst to him had been followed by the police, arrived at the agreed upon time, and he had the money, but the kidnapper never showed up, and Marion remained missing. On Saturday, December 17th, 1927, the story exploded in the press. Descriptions of Marion, the stranger, and the dark coupe he had driven were everywhere. The Los Angeles Times reported, "Search continues for Marion Parker, 12 years of age, kidnapped Thursday from Mount Vernon Junior High School by a criminal for whom hundreds of police officers, are conducting one of the greatest manhunts in the history of Southern California," which was also like not true. officers, you just following someone is not a manhunt. Like yeah. following a car to a ransom.
But maybe that's a lot for them during that time. I don't know what crime was like in LA.
I feel like it was more. It was like sensational and like tons of whatever. Officers in all towns and cities of Southern California have centered their attention on the strange case. All arms of the law are cooperating in tremendous manhunt. That morning, Parker received another letter, this time signed by Fate Fox. The Fox was furious, having spotted the cops staking out the drop-off. So that's why he never showed up. He would give Parker one last chance, warning, I will be 2 billion times as cautious, as clever, and as deadly from now on. You have brought this on yourself, and you deserve it, and worse. He got fucking angry.
What's worse than killing her?
I know. His ego. But a second meeting was arranged over the phone, this time at 5th and Manhattan Place. Parker sat tensely in his parked car waiting for his little girl. Around 8:15 p.m., a dark Ford pulled next to him. The man in the car had a handkerchief around his face so his features could not be seen. He pointed a shotgun into Parker's car. He then asked for the money. Parker asked where his daughter was. Right here, the kidnapper said. She's asleep. The man lifted something in the passenger seat, and Parker momentarily saw the face of his child. Parker leaned out of the car and gave the man $1,500. The kidnapper told him to wait a minute, and he drove slowly down the street to 432 Manhattan Place. He pushed something out of the passenger door and then sped off. This is a testimony according to Parker. I followed up to see where he had stopped, there looking for her, and I expected she would be lying on the parkway. I could not see anything at all, and then I saw some kind of bundle of trash in the gutter, which upon closer view I saw was my girl. I could see her white face, and I stopped and picked her up. The body was not complete. Marion was dead. Her body was wrapped in a blanket. Her eyes had been crudely sewed open to give the appearance of life. And there's pictures of this, and it is horrifying. To make matters more horrific, when her father removed the blanket, he discovered that his daughter's limbs and hips had been hacked off. The discovery of Marion's mutilated body, and they found other parts scattered in Elysian Park, became a national horror story, sent Angelinos into an understandable panic. But actually, her remains led to her killer. The coroner found a towel stuffed in her abdomen marked Bellevue Arms. My neighbor. This and other clues led police to settle on a suspect, a 19-year-old baby-faced man from Kansas City named William Edward Hickman. Since November, Hickman, using an alias, had been renting room 315 at the newly opened Bellevue Arms. Despite his appearance, Hickman was a complete fucking sociopath with a string of crimes already under his belt. Hickman was raised in Arkansas and Kansas by a family plagued by mental illness and instability. The fatherless boy was one of the top students in his high school class, get this, with many friends and mentors. He even was voted best boy orator, and people thought he might go to college. But around the time of his senior year, all that changed. In 1926, Hickman and his 16-year-old friend named Welby Hunt came to Alhambra to live with Hunt's grandparents. So sorry.
Let's take a little break while you can answer that, and we'll come right back.
Okay.
And we're back.
Yes, we are. So we were talking about Hickman and his friend, Welby Hunt. They came to Alhambra. They were in their teens. Murdered a guy on Christmas Eve, a druggist named Clarence Ivy Toms. Great name. But they may have also been,
what happened? I don't know how to shut this off, though. I've been trying to shut this off.
Yeah, Jason made a point to tell me to shut my phone off. And
this is on my computer. It's on the MacBook.
I see.
I don't know how to I don't know how to shut it off.
I think there's a way you can. I don't think you have to live this way.
No, right now there is. Right now, it's the only way I know how to live.
It's the only way you know how. You're used to it, and I understand that, but things can change.
Yeah.
They may have also, anyway, these two boys may have been responsible for the suicide of Hunt's grandfather. Hard to say. They were not caught, and Hickman soon began working as a page at the First National Bank. He was caught stealing money from the bank, surprise, surprise, convicted and sent home to Kansas with his mother. He didn't stay in Kansas. He went on a crime spree, holding up stores and carjacking unsuspecting passengers all over the... He couldn't stop. The man couldn't stop. By November 1926, he was back in L.A., and only a month later, Marion Parker was dead.
Maybe having that baby face, you're like, oh, this guy doesn't look like he does crime. He looks like he's just like a nice dude. Yeah.
He's just like a dude.
Like a hottie.
Like a hot guy about Alhambra, you know?
The Alhambra hotties. You know it. You love it.
It's a long tradition. It's amazing. Hickman was formally charged with kidnapping of Marion on Tuesday, December 20th, but he was nowhere to be found. The West Coast went on lockdown. Traffic stops were conducted up and down the coast, and Hickman's photos and physical description were plastered on the front page of every paper. We'll show him to you. You judge his hotness.
From 1 to 10.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, you can do half points, too, if you feel the need. But don't abuse it.
Yeah, yeah. Don't be so nuanced on it. Just settle on an eight or a six.
Exactly. The serial numbers of the gold certificates he had gotten from Parker were read over the radio and sent to stores. A $60,000 reward was offered for his capture, which is more than his ransom, way more than his ransom. If you were a good-looking young man with wavy black hair, you were in trouble. Many men were arrested multiple times. A man named Michael O'Neill was arrested 5 times, another 7 times. One felt so harassed that he hung himself when he was taken to jail. According to the LA Times, a near riot occurred in front of the police station yesterday when it was reported that Hickman had been arrested. The report traveled like wildfire through the downtown section, and in a few minutes, hundreds jammed in front of the headquarters, eager to catch a glimpse of the man accused of the horrible deed. The crowd was dispersed when it was announced Hickman had not been caught. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
LA is waited with bated breath trying to figure out where this guy is. Hickman was on the run in a stolen coupe. He was found on Thursday, December 2nd in Seattle, where he stupidly used one of the gold certificates to purchase a coat and other cold weather accoutrements. The suspicious clothier matched the certificate's serial number with one that had been read on the radio. Police finally arrested Hickman outside of Pendleton, Oregon, home of Pendleton Blankets, maybe? Those are comfy.
Maybe. Yeah, definitely. I don't know.
After a short chase. When confronted with his real name, Hickman reportedly shrugged and said, "I guess it's all over." What a psycho. Yeah. What a crazy.
Yeah.
That guy was born to be a murderer, sociopath, criminal.
But also kind of like, well, that's that.
I mean, yeah, he will go down with no fight.
Yeah.
You can take him home to the police station. He just put him in the back of your car.
Yeah.
If you're just even citizen's arrest, he's docile.
Yeah.
He knows when it's over with dignity.
He's like, let's shake on it that you come with us. And he's okay.
So he died in prison not long after that. But this building, which is, again, 2 blocks away from me. I've been there, and they're these like brownstone condos. It's so bougie now. I went on a tour that talked about this, Esoteric, which I am plugging to, although they're a little expensive for my taste. But they said that when they were renovating it, they found some other fabric in that room. But they didn't have any proof or anything like that. But can you imagine being like, she was kept in that room for a while. Like her roommate was this like young man who like kind of wanted to kill her and kind of didn't.
I'm wondering when he did he kill her in between the first and second, or was he always planning on killing her?
Yeah.
Or how do you like?
Right? Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah, I'm wondering when it happened in the time, because it's a relatively short timeline, but it's enough time to be like when.
Yeah.
Like
when
how long
was
he carrying around this like rag doll of a person?
Yeah, exactly. Like I can't imagine he killed her right away, because I think like the smell and like there's pictures and they are very graphic, and I don't think we'll put them on the
Instagram,
because we're a family friendly ghost town show.
Yeah, that's but on we'll, you.
Yeah, you can go and find, but it's very disturbing. Obviously, a lot of mental illness was involved in this case with this person.
So it's pretty unnecessary for the amount of what he wanted. It was like pretty he could have still got what he wanted. And
also, for that little money, like what is the point of all that? Like what is the point? Like. This young life was lost for what?
Yeah. He wanted like minimum wage, like.
Yeah, exactly. Just
reward.
Fucking get a job
for
at the bank,
like,
a better
weeks.
Job. I know, right? I don't. What are we doing? But it is with inflation, I learned that it was around like $20,000.
Okay.
So
still, but still, I mean,
but
have,
still.
Have you ever seen, watched a movie where just like, we demand 20K, baby?
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. It's like some people. It's like a student loan debt.
Yeah.
You're like, great. You want to shoot for the stars?
Yeah.
Or just pay that debt down?
Pay
or
that
what?
Debt down.
Exactly. So this is, the building is, looks very much like it did on the outside. Inside, it's totally renovated. I called them a bunch of times to get a tour, and especially of that room. I was like, I want to be in the second floor. Or like something like, I would give them some excuse. but they have not called me back. I think they know because I'm famous.
Yeah.
I think they know what we do
Exposed.
Here. Exactly. Muckraking journalism. But if I do, I will certainly report back.
Yeah, maybe we'll grab some video,
some vid. Yeah. We'll see what we can do. But you can live there too. They're always renting. If you feel like you want to be a part of
I mean, this is a very hot area. I'm sure somebody's living in that room.
Yeah.
Somebody cool, probably.
Someone really, like, hip.
Yeah.
Someone really, like, rad.
Yeah.
Probably a smoker.
You know, it's probably somebody that's contributed to our Patreon.
Oh,
they definitely have.
Oh my God. That's really cool, though.
That's cool.
That's fucking cool.
You go to patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
Oh.
We have so many Patreon only episodes ready for you to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
You get 2 Patreon only episodes a month.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of cool stuff. That's like the $2. I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. It's
$2. I know. And I'm still giving away some mystery boxes.
Yeah.
If you haven't got one yet, they're on their way, I promise. If you are thinking about them, maybe just, like, pull the trigger.
Yeah.
Take a chance.
Yeah.
It's like a Birchbox for weirdos.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
It's like a Freshly for crazy people.
It's like a HelloFresh for, like,
completely bonkers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can go to our Instagram, which is Ghost Town Pod, and...
Mm-hmm.
Send us a message because our Friday episodes this month will be listener suggestions.
Yes.
So you can still get yours in. Our email is ghosttownpod@gmail.com.
People are. They are coming in. We've got some strange places that we are going to delve into, and you'll be right there with us, and we will shout you out if we select your place. Yeah.
And
my dad has put a lot of places in our list, and I would like more not for my dad.
Yeah.
Is that possible? Absolutely. Just with your help.
Yes. Well, I guess if we receive... 2019. I had to check back in with that.
Yeah. I'll put that on the Instagram because anyone wants to follow my lead.
Yeah.
With the New Year's inspo. If you don't, just donate.
Do you have to say inspo?
Yeah, I don't have the time. I don't have the time.
You do have the time.
Welcome to Haunting History, the podcast that reaches back into the past for the events that shocked us. Tales of true crime, mystery, and the macabre. And when we're lucky, the stories where the past and the paranormal meet. Because who doesn't love a good ghost story, right? I'm your host, Kat, and joining me every week will be one of my co-hosts. Either Haley, my partner in every idea I have, or Tress, my lovely sidekick in all things paranormal. Join us this season as we discuss and share true accounts from all over Southern California and beyond, from haunted locations to newsworthy incidents and crimes that stunned us. We will dwell deep and find the people behind the headlines. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Haunting History Podcast, and rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen. Also, visit our website at hauntinghistorypodcast.com. Until next time, remember, the living are far scarier than any ghost.